O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday. It's June 3rd, 2015. And before we finally get to talk about the Titanic truth and Titanic myth, I know I've been leading people on with this for a few different weeks. I've had this in my arsenal of topics to talk about. And I know it was pretty significant writing when God put some thoughts and ideas into your mind and heart as you penned this. But first, I want to say something about your prayer time. You were praying up the radio ministry, how God would use it, the 2020 campaign, just how it's funded, the uniqueness that we don't have to have the big share-a-thons, fall or spring shares and sponsors and so forth. And so I want to brag up the listeners just for a minute, Jason, because the response has been overwhelming, exceeding my expectations on what we thought maybe this flyer would do as far as raising awareness and helping people see where their funds could go towards as we plan for the future. And so many people are responding and becoming part of the 2020 campaign. Some have just said, hey, here's $400. You know, we appreciate the radio ministry. Others have given unique or special gifts. There's been some churches on board, you know, a lot of families, singles, individuals, and it's just been heartwarming. I've been signing so many thank yous that show it as the first gift this year. Mm. So many are first-time givers or maybe haven't given in a while, and I've just been getting big file folders full from Karen, and it's like, you know, which always means when it's heavy, there's a lot of people that have donated. And so it's exciting to see the name, see the amount, write a little note, and thank them. And so just been overwhelmed and can't wait to see how God's going to use those resources. But they're coming in, and I think we've struck a nerve, if you will. We've laid out a vision for the future, and there are so many people that I think are being blessed or encouraged by the ministry, and so they feel like they can get involved. And there was one church that said, we've been praying about where to put some resources and sent $3,000. And wow. It's just like, that's incredible. And so it's just really neat to see the different ways people are helping and funding us and desiring to be monthly givers for the next 20 months. And some have said, hey, I'm going to continue beyond that. I've gotten to talk to a lot of people. And maybe some of you have even heard some of the hosts. Got some audio from Alistair Begg the other day. Mm. And so his voice, Steve Brown, created some radio spots, and the Illustria, a number of the hosts, so you'll hear their voices over the coming days as they celebrate with us that now we're in our 20th year, heading towards a 20th birthday on April 7th of 2016, and I'm working on a special guest, a nationally known host of one of our programs, to share that evening, and Phil Shepard has already agreed, he's with the Moody Broadcasting Network, to help MC and share that night, and I think it's going to be a really fun outing, and we have basically 10, 11 months to plan it, so we're already starting to try to pull that all together for our 20th birthday, but it's been just incredible seeing this flyer being used of God, so thank you, Jason, you were the mastermind behind most of it, and it's been a wonderful resource to give to people to kind of explain where God's leading us, where we're at as a radio ministry, and what we hope to accomplish in the days ahead. So you prayed a little bit about that, and I thought I'd just give you a little update along with those of you tuned in this morning. So welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, and we're in exciting times. In about a week and a half, Ivan Parker's coming in, so that's going to be another celebratory gathering of the Great News Radio listeners to not just be entertained by his ministry of music. He's a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Most anyone that's seen him present before has said he's just outstanding, he's God-honoring, and the music is real special and touching. So that'll be coming up in a week and a half, and we'll have some other special events in the days ahead. I know you've been praying about and asking me, hey, I'm biting at the bit to do some more teaching. When can we get the Great News Radio listeners together?
Always ready to do some more teaching.
Yeah. So, anyways, we're living in exciting times because the Lord is alive. He's desiring that all would come to know him, and he's allowed us to be a vehicle or a bridge or a tool that he can use to help woo people to himself. So does that fit in at all with the Titanic truth or Titanic myth? I don't know. Maybe a little bit. Make a transition for me here.
Say Jesus.
Yeah.
It'll all fit in. Yeah, well, I mean it all, because it all has to do with faith. And I mean, every time somebody writes a check for the radio ministry, that's a step of faith. That's faith in what God is doing in and through the station. I mean, when we prayed and we talked about it, I mean, didn't we say, you know, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise? And at the heart of it, you know, that we would listen to a radio, we would listen to those messages. I mean, it does seem just a little foolish, and yet God would use it to confound the wise. And I don't mean foolish in terms of the ministry hasn't it been impactful or hasn't done amazing things. But when you just think in the scope of things that happen in our life, to think that I'm going to get great encouragement from listening to the radio, it sounds foolish. I mean, if I would say that to the regular person, maybe person who hasn't listened to the station, who hasn't listened to Christian radio, who hasn't listened to that, they've listened to just purely secular things, they would consider maybe the radio to be more along the lines of entertainment, or, you know, maybe I'll hear one of my favorite songs, or maybe I'll get some news, or maybe I'll do that. But to feel, though, that they'll be really encouraged by it, that it may actually change their day. And there are probably people that we don't even know of whose stories haven't made their way here because they don't need to, who might have had their whole lives and the lives of their families impacted because they listened to this and they felt that tug and nudge of Jesus. And they got on their knees and they proclaimed him as their Lord and Savior. And Holy Spirit entered into them and they hopefully began to go to a Bible-believing church and growing and abounding in the Word and God's grace. And so, I mean, we don't even know. So, I mean, the thought that you would turn on the radio and you would be encouraged in your faith.
And spiritually fed where that conviction of the Holy Spirit because of the proclamation of the gospel, just the simple reading a Bible verse or a passage, how that can impact you or that song that's God-honoring with lyrics about, you know, Amazing Grace. I mean, you hear that, you're thinking, that's kind of an amazing concept that an almighty sovereign God would redeem me, would forgive me. I mean, those concepts that we get the privilege of sharing and talking about.
Well, just think about it this way, because I've had a couple listeners say to me, you know, at different points during when they've listened to the radio station, the Holy Spirit has convicted them of something. Maybe they heard a message. Maybe they heard a song. Maybe they heard just something, and it convicted them deep inside their heart. And when we turn on the radio, that's not what we're not expecting to get hit with a 2x4. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, because conviction is oftentimes very painful. It's freeing because it frees us of some weight. It realizes and shows us some places in our lives where we need to pay some attention to. But ultimately, that isn't entertainment. That's not. That's transformation. And so, again, I mean, to turn on the radio and say, and I think that there isn't a level where people would say, well, I am very entertained by listening to the radio station. Mm-hmm. I love the music, and I love listening to some of the teaching, and I am very entertained. But then there's a whole nother level where you're being transformed and changed by it. Yeah. And so even the 2020 challenge, I mean, you know, on one level, somebody could say, well, they're collecting funds and they're doing this. But, did you ever think about that in the terms of that's transformation? I mean, when you hear of a need and you decide, look, the hardest thing to get people, to get you and I to part with is money. And so when you hear that need and you go, yes, I want to be a part of that. I mean, 20, yes, 60%, whatever it is. I mean, I want to be a part of that. That's transforming to yourself. That's not simply you were generous. That's transforming to you because that's part of that conforming you into the image of God part. So it's not just simple generosity or not just simple entertainment, but that's transformation.
And it's also, you could look at it as an investment because they're funding something that is transformational in other people's lives, even though it might be affecting them or encouraging them or blessing them. It's touching many others and people that can't afford to send in donations. So they're helping fund a God-honoring outreach that's touching
many lives.
Well,
and a lot of the vision that you've laid out is vision that is in the future. And so for some folks who are giving and who are part of the 2020 campaign, they may never, I may never, you may never see the total fruits of what the 2020 campaign will reap. That might come after we're gone and the next person comes in and it's called Greater News Radio. You know, I don't know. But I mean, so then again, to just give into something where you may never even see the fruit. I mean, that's laboring in the field for a different reason. That's Colossians 3:23, doing it for God and not doing it for yourself. Because again, I think for ourselves we go, well, I want to see what's going to happen. I want to see the remodel. I want to see the change. I want to hear how the new equipment makes the radio station sound better. I want all these things. And for some of these things that you laid out, some people may not see that. Mm-hmm. And so that's selfless and sacrificial giving. And so, I mean, in terms of, you know, the Titanic truth and the Titanic myth. It was something that I wrote for our newsletter in the church a couple weeks ago, just something that was on my heart. I had watched the Left Behind movie. It came on my Netflix queue, so I saw it, and I said, well, I'm off today, so it was raining outside, so I need something to do. So I turned it on, and I started to watch it, and I've never really watched. I didn't watch the first set of Left Behind movies, the Kirk Cameron ones. This was Nicolas Cage one. And so, I have to admit that I haven't read the books. I hadn't watched any movies. I know of the concept of it, and I studied and looked at the theological understanding of what tribulation may be, may or may not be. You know, we don't really want to get into all of those things, the theological arguments for and against and how it could be and how it can't be. But, you know, that was more or less just a vehicle that God used to start to get me to think about it. But three-fourths of the way through the movie, so the whole two-hour adventure of watching the movie was, the movie is horrible. I just want to be honest.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I mean, I'm not Siskel and Ebert. I don't do movie reviews. But I just can tell you unequivocally that you will leave this two-hour movie and feel like you wasted time.
Yeah.
You'll feel like you could have done something. Unless you fall asleep during it and then you can redeem it because you napped, maybe. So I watched this, and I thought, gosh, this movie is absolutely horrible. That was my first thought. My other thought was, gosh, Nicolas Cage is like a really good actor. What happened?
Yeah.
I mean, was it an off week? Was he free? Was he, I don't know. So I was watching it, but there was a scene. So worth the 2 hour of me wasting watching the movie was the one scene in the movie that happened about three-fourths of the way through there. You know, the rapture has occurred. People have left. I'm not sure I like the whole idea of the clothes are laying all over the place, simply because Paul talks about this tent being empty. He's talking about there's something inside of us that leaves out of here. I understand for the movie it looks good because it would be really weird if it was bodies laying everywhere, like hollow bodies. But the clothes laying around just as weird to me. I don't know. I'm just always kind of like, oh, my gosh. You know what I thought when I watched it? I just have to be honest with you. It reinforced my grandmother always used to say, always wear clean underwear.
Yes, you could get into an accident.
Get into an accident. So I thought, gosh, if I'm going to be out of here and my clothes are left, they better be clean clothes. So the rapture has happened, and Nicolas Cage's daughter's character, she can't figure out what's going on, and finally she makes her way home. And when she makes her way home, she finds a Bible. Her mother was a believer. Her dad is on the fence. He's left following the Lord, but he did when he was younger. And she is, because of that situation, she's just not, you know, she's agnostic, atheist. I'm not sure. They don't really tell you, but she's just ambivalent to faith. So she goes home, and she starts to remember some things, and she finds her mom's Bible and opens it up and realizes what has happened. She goes, oh, my gosh, I think I know what happened. So she goes to the family church, the church she must have attended when she was younger, church she knows her mom attends. And she goes in there, and the pastor's sitting up in the front pew. Now, this is after the rapture, so right away.
Not a good sign.
Right away, you're going, this is not a good sign at all. And so he's up there, and he's just kind of weeping. And the Nicolas Cage version is not really that good in terms of that the, you know.
And he's a pilot?
No. This is the pastor. And so.
Oh.
And so this movie is not, this version is not as good because the pastor just kind of, she's like, you're still here. And he's like, I know, you know, and there's not really anything else. Whereas the older version, I went on YouTube and watched it. The older version of this movie, the pastor is actually sitting behind the pulpit and he's bouncing a rubber ball. So the kind of the bouncing the rubber ball creates this tension in the scene. And as he's bouncing the ball, he's saying, oh, boy, what a fraud am I? Everyone bought it. Everyone but you. He's talking to God. And then he kind of jumps to his feet in a real kind of quick motion. And he points at the cross, and he says, I knew your message. I knew your words. I stood right here and preached it, and I was good. But knowing and believing are two different things. And that really struck a chord with me, because I think that for many of us, maybe, that's where we lie. That's where we lie. We know a lot about God, but what do we believe about God? See, because the knowing part, that's great. I mean, you know, but the most important two letters of the word doctrine, the knowing, is the D-O, the doing part. And so what do you do with what you know? That's the measure of a person. That's the measure of your faith. That's the measure of your belief. What do you do with those things? And so this pastor was saying, I knew a lot, and I was good at giving that word, but I didn't believe that word. And I think that in our culture today, we have a lot of that happening. You know, I think there's a growing number of people today who are in that boat, the same boat as the pastor. They're walking around and they believe in a way that they know enough to be unsinkable. Know enough to be unsinkable. And in doing so, they tarry really close to the lines of sin and disbelief. And there's a myth. It's called the Titanic myth. And I call it the Titanic myth of faith. I added faith on the end of it. But the Titanic myth is the belief that you can take on a little bit of water and you won't sink. You see, that's what the Titanic was. The Titanic was the first ship ever made that had a segmented hull. And so the idea was that if one part of the ship was pierced, then water would fill up in that one part, but it wouldn't fill up into the other parts. But if anybody's seen a cross-section of the Titanic, they only segmented the hull up so high. So what happened when the Titanic hit that iceberg is the first section began to fill up with water, and then into the next section, and then into the next section. That's why it took so long for the Titanic to sink. But the point isn't how long it took for the Titanic to sink. The point was that at some point the Titanic was going to sink. If you take some water on in one place, at a certain point you'll displace water into another place and you will begin to sink. So the Titanic myth of faith is the belief that you can take on a little water and you won't sink. That you can take on a little bit of doubt and you won't sink. That you can take one verse in the Bible and you can say, well, you know, I'm not really sure God says that here. I'm not really sure that means that. You know, in our community group this past week, we studied the book of Jonah. We studied the first chapter of the book of Jonah. And, you know, a lot of people, and even in the front introductory section of my ESV Bible, it says that this is a book that's hotly disputed, mainly because of the idea that Jonah is swallowed by a fish and remains inside of that fish for 3 days. And how can we imagine that Jonah would possibly be in the belly of the fish for 3 days? Except for in Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus references Jonah and references the fish, and then he says, oh yeah, and also the Queen of Sheba, who's a demonstrably historical figure, and the men of Nineveh, who lived and died and were historical figures. So Jesus himself puts Jonah in the same category as real, live, historical people.
He validates it in a sense.
He validates it because Jonah was a live, historical person. And so this Titanic myth is when we take things that we say, well, I just don't know if that's true. I just don't know if that's true. Knowing all the while that you've been called to be God's messenger and not been called to be God's editor. And so you believe that you can defer a few small things in the Bible to your disbelief, but you won't take on so much water that you'll fall into total disbelief. But here's the problem, is that when you stand in the presence of Jesus, he's not going to go, well, you got 99, I guess you're in. I mean, we're so good at saying, well, you know, I passed. I got enough to pass. And Jesus isn't looking for if you pass or if you fail. Jesus is looking if you believe. That's what Jesus is looking for.
Yeah, he's looking for that faithful response to his actions. Because what's that verse, and I'm sure it'll maybe come to your mind, where the demons believed in Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so you can have this head knowledge and say, yeah, I believe there's a God. And it sounds like, yes, historically there was a Jesus. I believe that. But that's a big difference than putting your faith and trust in him as your personal Lord and Savior.
Well, I'm just going to throw it out there and then we'll just become a target right now. but it's saying, I believe what the Bible says, and I believe who Jesus is, and I follow him, and I love him, but I think he's got marriage wrong. I think Jesus doesn't understand monogamous same-sex marriages. If Jesus doesn't understand monogamous same-sex marriages, if he doesn't understand something, then you are in a world of hurt, because that means all of a sudden there are a lot of things that he doesn't understand. And listen to me, Jesus understands what marriage is. That's the reason why he references marriage over and over again. He uses it as a picture of what it means to come to faith, of a bride and a bridegroom. In fact, at the end of the Bible, he paints this picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the bride and the Spirit say, come. And so I'm pretty sure Jesus knows what marriage is, and he knows what marriage is not. And so what many of us forget, and what the builders of the Titanic forgot, was the fundamental truth that a hole in the boat is a hole in the boat nonetheless. You see, I think that many of us, Mark, I think we live segmented lives in such a way that we think we're unsinkable. We have our church life, we have our work life, we have our home life, we have our sin life, and we keep each separate, hoping that if we take a little water, a little sin, that there won't be an effect on the rest of them. The problem is that a hole in the boat is a hole mm-hmm. in the boat, which only grows to be a gaping hole over time. It rips open as you take on more and more water. More and more things flood out of it. Also, keep in mind that they said that when the Titanic ripped open, the things that were in that compartment also came out. And so that darkness and depravity, those things that you are taking in are also coming out, and they're affecting the people around you. Now, John MacArthur said at a recent conference that I attended, he says, while it is imperative that we reach out with the gospel, we also need to be evangelizing in the church with solid Bible teaching and conversations that challenge us by enriching and protecting our faith. You know, when I watched that scene in the movie, Mark, I just thought to myself, who will ask me the tough questions? Who will ask me the questions about what I believe? Who will ask me the questions? You know, I almost felt sorry for that pastor. That there wasn't people around him who would say, what do you believe? What do you know? What do you think? And then people who maybe were willing to put that relationship on the line just a little bit to challenge that person. To say, you know what, I think you're wrong in a few areas, and we need to talk about this. Not because I want to be divisive, not because I want to hurt your feelings, because I care about your eternity. Because I care about your eternity. You know, we're so good with caring for each other on day-to-day kind of things. We're so good at sending cards, and we're so good at sending flowers and little treats and hugs and pats on the back
and
little notes.
And many Facebook likes.
Yeah, Facebook likes. We're so good with all that stuff. And for many of us, we're so good at that, and we're not caring for people's eternities. And in these days, when the waves of heresy are high and the storms of secularism are absolutely intense, I don't think we can afford to take on any unintended water. Therefore, none of us can afford to live a segmentated life apart from the inspired, inerrant, and infallible truth of who God is and the encouragement we experience from one another in fellowship and community. That's the truth of Scripture. That's the truth of who we are in Christ. If I don't know who God is, I don't know who I am. And if I'm not in community, who I think I am will start to be who I think I am and not who God thinks I am. I hope you understand what I just said, because it's a bit of a tongue twister there. But the fact is that we need to do both. God said to love Him supremely and then to love others sacrificially. Now you would say, well, that just means I got to give to people. That just means I got to do that. No. Because your brother over there next to you, he's called to love you sacrificially, so he's going to give to you. And together you're going to sacrificially give to each other things. And those things that you give to each other of the greatest worth are going to be the conversations and the moments together that will drive you deeper into faith. That when your brother really has a love for you and he pulls you aside and says, you know, I think you hit an iceberg last week, and I really need to talk to you about it, because I care about you and I don't want to watch you sink. We have allowed far too many of our friends to sink, and we've watched them do it, and we've just kind of stood at a distance and said, lower the lifeboats, I thought he would have done that, and he didn't. So as we close the program, I just want to pray for us right now. Just pray for us. Father, we thank you for your word. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It is inspired by you, spoken by you. And therefore, it is profitable for all things, for life and for faith. And Father, we pray right now for the places where we've rammed into something. We've got a little hole. And Father, we say, well, that'll be okay. I can take a little water there. Father, we pray against the notion that we can take on any water. And instead, Father, we pray for just safety in the living water of Christ. Living water of Jesus Christ. We pray that in community that we would be sustained, that we would be encouraged. We pray that we could sustain and be an encouragement to others. We pray, Father, right now for truth above all else. And Father, we just repent of any of the places where we believe that we know better than you. Father, we give all that we are, this radio program, our lives, the ministry, everything that we do, our children, all of it to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I'm thinking the Titanic truth is that Jesus loves you and died for your sins.
Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.